Live to hear the story of a United States senator. You are going behind the scenes of political Washington, into the Senate chambers, the cloakrooms, the private offices, the meetings, secret and public. The locale, the background, are factual. Only the names and the stories are fictional. This is Freedom, USA. Starring Tyrone Power as the Senator of the United States. And featuring the voice of America's distinguished news commentator and Washington authority, Edwin C. Hill. Freedom, USA. The story of your government today. In a moment, listen to Tyrone Power as Senator Dean Edwards in Freedom, USA. Now, we present Freedom, USA, starring Tyrone Power as Senator Dean Edwards and featuring the voice of Edwin C. Hill.
This is Edwin C. Hill, ladies and gentlemen. Often overlooked in the whirl of Washington activities is the fact that the Senate functions as a watchdog of the government. It looks into expenditures, sees that the government is not cheated in its transactions, punishes those who have cheated it. And that's a bigger job than you realize. For in these times, government is a very big business. Senator Dean Edwards, for example, has put in months of solid digging with his committee investigating frauds against the government in war contracts. Speaking of Senator Edwards, you can see him right now here in the basement of the Capitol. With him is his old friend, Judge Parker. They've just climbed into the monorail subway car leading from the Capitol to the Senate office building.
I'll just ride over to the office with you, Dean. Tell me, how's the work of your committee on frauds progressing?
Judge, I really think we're doing a job. It's been a long grind. You have to be a combination of detective, accountant, and lawyer to ferret out some of those finaglers. But that's what we've been doing.
Yeah, that's only part of the job, though. You'll have to set the wheels in motion to prosecute. Your cases must be complete before they get into court.
Well, they will be. By next week, we'll be ready to issue our first indictments. Do you know Oliver Marston?
Marston?
The U.S. attorney from my state.
Oh.
I'm meeting him in my office this afternoon to discuss final details on our first indictment. I don't think I'm a vindictive sort, Judge Parker, but it's going to be a pleasure to slug the chiselers who use war emergencies to profiteer at government expense. And I promise you, I'll give it the best I have.
Senator Edwards' office. Take a picture with him. I'll see if he can fit it into a schedule. Morning's the best time. The Senate meets at noon. Yes, I'll let you know.
Oh, hi, Ginger. Did I hear something about a picture?
Mm-hmm. It's some high school orators, Senator. They want a trip to Washington. They'd like you to pose for a picture with them.
All right. 11:30 tomorrow morning on the Hill.
Mr. Marston's waiting in your office.
Oh, good. I'll see him right away.
Good afternoon, Senator.
Hello, Mr. Marston. Hope you haven't been waiting long.
Senator Edwards, I'm a fairly patient man. I'm used to disappointments. But really...
What are you talking about? Has something gone wrong?
Don't you know? Haven't you seen the evening papers?
No, not yet. I just got in from the Hill. What's happened?
Let me show you what's happened. Here. See that article, the one headed Informer's Suit?
Oh, yes. Here it is. Acting in the public interest to recover damages resulting from an alleged criminal act, Wayne Tupler, attorney, has filed an Informer's Suit against 42 firms he accuses of defrauding the government.
Why, that's our case. I'm glad you noticed the resemblance. Here, we've been gathering evidence against these firms for months, and now this man steals our thunder and makes us look like schoolboys.
But it isn't possible that one man could do it. Marston, who let him in on it? Have you discussed this with anyone?
Have I Let me tell you, Senator, I've been preparing those indictments with the utmost secrecy. Judge Lexing of the District Court agreed to let me get the case started next month. It's been a hush-hush project in my office, and nobody on my staff let out a peep about it. There was no tip-off on my end. All I know is that the fat's in the fire.
Well, it didn't jump in by itself, Mr. Marston.
No, Senator, no, it didn't. And I still say there's only one man who could have talked out of turn about this.
Who's that?
That's you, Senator. And if I'm a little disgusted and suspicious, it's because Wayne Tupler was in your office right here only a few weeks ago, and he told me so himself.
Well, of course he was here. But he certainly got no information about the indictments from this office.
Well, he got it somewhere. It didn't come to him in a dream. I just hope you haven't been as loose-lipped about the committee's other cases. As for me, I don't like to look like a fool. I'm going home. Good day, Senator.
Enlighten me, Senator.
What is it you want to know, Miss Kincaid?
Uh-huh. My womanly intuition was correct. When you call me Miss Kincaid instead of Mary, I know something's wrong.
I wish you'd stop playing detective.
Oh, climb down from that ivory tower, Senator. This is your pal Mary, remember? I'm in your corner.
Well, it isn't a pleasant corner to be in, Mary.
Oh, I don't know. I've been in worse. Look, I'm the only reporter left in your office. Lucky me. But right now, let's get to the more prosaic things, hmm? Like, who blabbed, Senator? Who spilled the beans?
Frankly, I haven't the faintest idea.
Now, if I've my facts straight, your committee had found plenty of evidence of fraud. Rigging of bids and other dirty work on the part of those firms who had government contracts for war production.
That's correct.
And indictments were being prepared by the U.S. Attorney's Office for prosecution in district court. And then this Tupler character gets in ahead of you and files an informer suit for $250,000.
Yeah, and he gets 50% of whatever he recovers against these firms if they're found guilty.
Very profitable public service, isn't it? Sure makes you and your committee look sick, doesn't it?
If that's how you write your story, yes.
I'm not filing this slant yet. I'd like to give you a break as long as possible.
That's decent of you, Mary. Be ashamed to have the committee discredited and our work hamstrung just as we're making progress.
But how long do you think it'll be before other reporters put two and two together and see a connection between that informer's suit and your committee's first big case?
Not very long, I know. In whatever time I may have, I'm trying to investigate the situation. What more can I do?
Pick yourself out a nice, snug storm cellar. If I know my political weather, Senator, this one will break like a tornado. I've told the reporters you had no other statement to make, Senator.
Oh, thank you, Ginger. Those the latest newspapers?
Yes, but you don't want to see them.
No, I know what they have to say, and there's no answer I can give them.
Well, Senator, I'm terribly sorry this happened. I wish I could... Senator Edwards' office? The meeting has been postponed? Until when? I see. Thank you for calling.
Who was that?
The Better Government League. Wednesday night's meeting has been postponed. You won't have to address them.
Postponed till when?
Well, they'll let us know.
Oh. In other words, I'm no longer fit to talk about Better Government.
Oh, now, why should you take the blame for something that wasn't your fault?
Because, my dear Miss Mullen, I'm head of the committee that muffed the ball.
But there are other members, investigators, and Mr. Marston and his people. It just isn't fair to make you the scapegoat.
Well, it isn't the first time. That doesn't bother me so much as what this has done to the morale of everybody involved. Every man on the committee looking suspiciously at every other one, wondering who might be guilty. It's like a team falling apart.
Couldn't you talk to Mr. Tupler? Could you subpoena him?
No, Ginger. He'd hardly be willing to admit that the information used in his suit came from someone in government service. And we'd only make ourselves ridiculous trying to force such an admission.
You can't let this ruin your work. You just can't.
Take it easy, Ginger. I may be down, but they haven't counted me out yet. I'll let you know what happens on the Hill today.
Dean!
Oh, Judge Parker, how are you, sir?
Winded, Dean. My legs aren't as long as yours, or as young.
I was just going in. Though, frankly, this is one day I don't relish being on the Senate floor.
I don't blame you. I've been snipping around. There may be some unpleasant music for you to face.
It does look bad, doesn't it?
Yes, Dean. Like carelessness. If not downright dishonesty on someone's part. The stories in the newspapers have made the public suspicious, and suspicion is as deadly as accusation. You've got a tough fight ahead.
Well, I'd better get into the ring.
Yes, and I'd better get up to the gallery. See you later. Good luck, Dean.
Thanks, Judge.
Mr. President.
Chair recognizes Senator Dilby.
When I first voiced my objection to the formation of the committee to investigate frauds against the government in war contracts some months ago, there were some gentlemen in this body who felt that I was an alarmist. Now I submit that time and events have shown us that my objections were well-founded and my warnings entirely valid.
Mr. President, if the gentleman will yield, I should like a chance to reply to his charge.
Does the gentleman wish to yield the floor to Senator Edwards?
I do not.
Senator Dilby retains the floor.
The Committee to Investigate Frauds prepared certain cases for indictment and trial. But an individual filed suit in these very cases before the United States Attorney and the Committee could move.
Will the gentleman please yield the floor?
No, Senator Edwards, I do not please to yield.
Senator Dilby retains the floor.
Some gentleman would take even the floor if it weren't nailed down. Now then, the press and the wires many senators have received from their constituents make clear the general suspicion that some member of the Committee to Investigate Frauds passed on valuable information to Mr. Wayne Tuckler, who filed the informer suit in district court.
That accusation is entirely without foundation. I demand the right to reply.
Senator Edwards wishes to be recognized. Does Senator Dilby yield the floor?
I do not yield.
Senator Dilby retains the floor.
To anticipate the reply the gentleman is so anxious to make, I wish to read from a newspaper article published today. It says, and I quote, "Wayne Tuckler, the attorney who filed the informer suit for $250,000, beating the government in its own suit, conferred with Senator Dean Edwards at his office in Washington prior to filing his suit. Senator Edwards is chairman of the Committee to Investigate Frauds." End quote. The implication is ugly, gentlemen. Perhaps the committee does not have to look far afield for frauds. I move for a complete investigation, and pending its outcome, for a discharge of the Committee to Investigate Frauds.
Back to Tyrone Power, starring as Senator Dean Edwards in Freedom, USA, and the second act of our story.
Edwin C. Hill again. From my seat here in the Senate gallery, I'm watching a scene of intense drama being enacted here today on the Senate floor. Underscoring the importance of the drama is the fact that 88 of the 96 desks on the floor are occupied. This is, I believe, something of a record. Today, one of the youngest members of this august body, Senator Dean Edwards, is under fire. The existence of his committee to investigate fraud is in peril, and so is the young senator's career as a legislator. For Senator Leo Dilby, grizzled hatchet man of the Senate, has just moved for a discharge of Edwards' committee, and in terms tantamount of accusing Senator Edwards himself of dishonesty. Senator Edwards has been trying vainly to gain the floor. Now that Senator Dilby is finished, we may get a chance to hear Senator Edwards' answer to the grave charge.
Gentlemen will please come to order. I must caution visitors in the galleries. Further disturbance will result in removal of any offender by the sergeant-at-arms.
Mr. President.
Chair recognizes Senator Edwards.
Gentlemen, certain statements have been read here and certain inferences drawn which impugn my personal integrity as well as that of the committee which I am privileged to serve as chairman. Most of the charges proceed from conclusions reached because of a newspaper story stating that Wayne Tuckler visited in my office before filing his informer suit.
Do you deny that he visited you?
No, Senator, I do not deny it. But I cannot permit false conclusions to be drawn from this visit. Wayne Tupler, an attorney from my state, came to my office to see me because he had heard about the committee to investigate frauds against the government in war contracts.
Naturally. How else could he get a nice, juicy fraud for himself?
I resent both the gentleman's remarks and his agility at leaping at conclusions unfounded on evidence. But my personal resentment is not important. The work of the committee is. I must tell you, then, that Wayne Tupler came to see me, as did many other attorneys, to seek employment as one of the committee's investigators.
Do you deny discussing the government's pending indictments against the contracting firm with this man?
Yes, Senator Dilby, and gentlemen, I do deny it. At no time in my brief conversation with Tupler was there any reference to these suits. I told the man I had no job for him.
Then how did Tupler get the information for his suit?
That is something which I honestly don't know at this point. But, gentlemen, I ask you not to let the incident of this informer's suit obscure the valuable work of this committee.
You'll be claiming next that Tupler's suit was pure coincidence.
I make no such claim, Senator Dilby. Neither of us may believe it, but it is possible. But I beg of you, gentlemen, please defer passing on the motion to discharge my committee until I have time to investigate this informer's suit and the source of its information. That is all I ask of you.
Is there a second to the motion to discharge the committee pending a complete investigation?
I'll recall my motion, but I intend to offer it again in 60 days.
Senator Edwards' office? I'm sorry, but it can't be done. Senator Edwards has canceled all his appointments for the rest of the week.
Well, Ginger, I've cleaned up everything possible until I get back. Did you get the consent of absence from Senator Lawton?
Yes, Senator. Can I do anything else for you before you go?
I guess not, Ginger.
Why don't you go to the airport?
Hi, Senator. Ginger.
Hello, Mary.
Hi. Glad I caught you before you left on this trip west to your home state. Here's a little item that will interest you. Just came in on the teletype in our newsroom.
Uncontested by the defendant firms involved, the highly controversial informer suit filed on behalf of the government by attorney Wayne Tupler today resulted in Tupler and the government being awarded $250,000 in Judge Lexing's Federal District Court.
Tupler gets $125,000 for himself.
Yes, I know.
And you and your committee don't have a prayer unless you find out who's been dealing with him.
Dealing? You're ruling out any possibility of innocent divulging of information?
I can smell skullduggery a mile away. Somebody sold information Tupler wanted, and Tupler paid for it.
I don't like to believe it, but you may be right.
When you go west, let me give you a tip. Don't trust anyone.
Amazing.
What is?
That a girl who looks so sweet and naive could be so cynical.
Oh, now, don't get me wrong, Senator. Beneath the cynical report is a feminine, home-loving American chick. Just waiting for the right guy.
I think you better go, Senator. You'll miss the plane.
No, you're right, Ginger. Well, so long, girls. I'll see you when I return.
I'll be waiting, Senator. Good luck.
Thank you. Goodbye.
What a guy.
Mr. Marston, I think we've both been suspicious of each other, and I think we've both been wrong. I came out here to ask for your help.
Well, I'll do anything I can, Senator Edwards.
My committee's existence is at stake, and I'm fighting for it. Now, I'm reasonably certain no information was given out at Washington. Is it at all possible that someone here, an assistant, typist, a clerk, could have been in contact with Tupler?
No, Senator, no. Nobody in my office. None of the staff worked on the entire case. Each had some segment of it. Only I had the complete facts in the suit. And Judge Lexing was the only man beside yourself that I discussed it with.
Judge Lexing?
Mm.
How well do you know Judge Lexing?
Very well. If you're thinking what I think you are, Senator, you're on the wrong trail. Lexing's occupied the district bench for many years. He's a man of integrity. But they tell me he signed a note for a friend who defaulted. It cost him a lot of money, too, but he paid it without a murmur. That's the kind of man he is.
I see. Well, perhaps he can give me a lead on what I'm looking for. Thank you, Mr. Marston. Good afternoon.
Forgive me for not talking to you earlier, Senator Edwards, but I have a crowded calendar and I've been trying to clear it. And now then, how can I help you?
The United States attorney, Mr. Marston, told you about the government case against the contracting firms and about the indictments, did he not?
Of course. Yes, when he asked for a date to bring the suit to trial, I gave him a tentative date.
And then this civil suit, the informer suit, was brought to your court.
Yes. There was no valid reason for not putting it on the calendar.
Didn't it strike you that it was the same case the attorney's office had called to your attention?
Of course, but it had fresh information, and it was perfectly legal, so I went ahead with it.
Judge Lexing, I'd like to ask you a few more personal questions.
Really?
Did you sign a note that was defaulted?
Why, yes, I believe I did.
What was the amount of that note?
The amount? Well, I'd have to check my records.
Was it for $50,000?
That may have been the figure.
How could you hope to pay such a debt?
I am an honorable man, Senator. I pay my debts.
Did you pay this one?
Certainly.
How?
Senator Edwards, I don't like this line of questioning.
Neither do I, Judge, but I want answers unless you'd prefer to reply in public. How did you pay a debt of $50,000?
Well, with my earnings and savings.
But you don't earn that kind of money, and I've had your bank account investigated. Until yesterday, you had $4,000 in your bank account. Yesterday, it was augmented by $12,500.
I resent your inference.
It wasn't judicial wisdom to add that money to your account, Judge. Maybe you thought you were above suspicion. Now, how could you pay off $50,000 and then add another $12,500 to your account on your salary? By what windfall?
Senator, you don't understand.
No, I don't. Enlighten me, please. Where did you get $62,500?
I have nothing to say.
Then I'll tell you. That sum is half the amount awarded to Tupler in your court.
Absurd.
Is it? You got the money for furnishing Tupler material for his suit, didn't you?
The note was hanging over me. They'd have stripped me of everything. I didn't know where to turn.
So you disgraced your office and sold the information to Tupler?
Yes. Yes, I disgraced my office. Now I must face the consequences.
Chair recognizes Senator Dilby.
Gentlemen, it is my pleasurable task to inform you that as a result of the evidence furnished by our colleague, Senator Edwards, the case of the informer suit is now cleared up. I now wish to make amends by adding my tribute to Senator Edwards for the forthright manner in which he has obtained the truth in this case.
Mr. President.
Chair recognizes Senator Edwards.
I am deeply grateful to Senator Dilby for his kind remarks, and happy that the work of my committee has been vindicated. May I say that one of the things which has made America great is the integrity of the bar, its jurists and its attorneys. And when those lacking integrity are found, they are rooted out. I know that the isolated case of a Judge Lexing will not reflect on the hundreds of honest and capable jurists, nor will a Tupler be permitted to discredit thousands of honest American attorneys.
This is Edmund C. Hill, ladies and gentlemen. You have just witnessed the heartwarming spectacle of democracy in action, the challenging of the integrity of a legislator and an important committee, which is democracy's right, and now the vindication of both. According to our traditions of freedom, this is Freedom USA.
Our star, Tyrone Power, will return in just a moment.
Oh, hello, Mary.
You're a hard guy to keep up with, Senator. I missed you after the session. Zenger said you didn't come back to the office. What are you doing out here on Capitol Street?
Oh, I don't know. I I sort of wanted to look at the Supreme Court building.
Very beautiful hunk of marble.
A great many Americans gave their time, their energies, and their blood to make possible the Supreme Court. It's the final citadel of freedom against oppression by unjust laws.
It means something special to you, doesn't it?
Yes, Mary. It's strictly American. When it was started back in 1789, there was nothing like it anywhere in the world. It's thrilling to look at this embodiment of lasting freedom in our land and to read the promise Americans will always find fulfilled of equal justice under law.
Week, may we invite you to again visit our national capital for another absorbing episode of Freedom USA, starring Tyrone Power. In the interest of good government, we urge you to listen to these important stories from Washington, D.C. Freedom USA.